Bless you all, men of God. Thank you so much, Bishop. I appreciate you greatly. Thank you for just the privilege to share. I love it when the men get together, when there's a unity and coming together of men, just because we don't see enough of that. And reason being, a lot of times, is because I think that there is really, when there is a void of strong men who understand their identity, when there's a missing there, literally everything around is crying out. When the scripture I talked about, that all of creation is groaning for the manifestations of the sons of God, that word there in the Greek, the sons, when it's talking about, there was three different terms that the scripture had used for sons: technon, technion, and weos. And it's crying out for the weos of God, the ones that know how to change the world, that invade the earth realm with the kingdom realm. They know how to bring heaven to earth. They know how to lead. They know how to govern. And I believe that there is a opportunity. I don't see all the things that are going on in the world, in the government, in the system, as a problem. I see them as opportunity. And it's a call for the church to rise up. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, once again, thank you so much, Bishop. Definitely appreciate you. And to all the other ministers and ministry gifts, pastors, leaders, ministers of the fivefold, do definitely honor and appreciate every one of you. I don't take it lightly when someone takes the call to ministry. It is definitely worthy of being honored, double honor. And so do acknowledge and appreciate and bless each and every one of you this morning. Okay, so for those of you that do have been familiar with the book, The Measure of a Man, Bishop was sharing some details about that one this past week with me. And so there was a chapter that had stood out, chapter 14, where it talks about how anybody familiar with the book? Everybody's reading it? Okay, so chapter 14, where it talks about a peacemaker. I'm a big I like to study detail, line upon line, precept upon precept, and break it down. How many know there is a difference between a peacekeeper and a peacemaker? Okay, I want to break down today the nature of a peacemaker. The scripture that it was using, 1 Timothy 3, in verse 1, I'll just read a few verses, then I'm going to add a couple other, and hopefully Pastor Reuben will, if he's on his way, Lord, we pray you bring him safely and protect him on his journey. He said he had a couple other things to take care of this morning that were pretty urgent to make sure get done, but he is going to try his best to be here. So, all right, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1. This is a faithful saying: if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. Verse 3, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now, whether we bishop a ministry, a community, or we bishop our own house, or we bishop our own soul, whatever it is, he called us to be leaders. It's just in our DNA, it's in our nature. A lot of times, I believe the issue is that we've been so used to and we've become accustomed to addressing the old man and addressing the old nature about everything that's wrong with them, about what their flaws are, what their faults are. And instead of actually talking to the son in them, we're trying to shift and trying to get the old man, the old nature, under submission. We're trying to get it under control. We're trying to teach it. A lot of times, if you ever have trouble hearing the voice of God, a lot of times it's because we try so hard to get our natural man to hear it. But how many can testify that when you hear God, a lot of times it's the times when you least expect it? When you're driving, when you're getting ready, when you're talking to somebody else, or you're talking to your wife, and for just some reason it sounds like you sound like God, or God said that, or And so when you least expect it, because that's how God works. We've heard before that he speaks in the stillness. He speaks in the quietness. There is something about the peacemaker nature of the Father that he talks to you when you least expect it, because he's not trying to talk to the old Adam. He's trying to talk to Christ. You don't come to the house to be for Adam to be preached to, but for Christ to be preached to, for the new man, for the new nature. The nature of a peacemaker is one that understands that everywhere they go, whether if they're sober-minded, if they know how to have self-control, if they know how to produce the fruit of the Spirit, they understand that that very nature is the sonship of the Most High. That it's not about me trying to prove anything. It's not about me trying to let everybody in the room know how much I know, how many scriptures I can quote, or how much revelation I got, or how profound we can get, but how well can I serve even the least of these? Or if there's chaos around, I am the peace in the midst of the storm. It's not something that we are just praying, God, will you do? But he put the grace on you and I. When he gave them the Great Commission, or he sent out the apostles, he didn't say, when you get there, pray that I do a miracle. He said, you heal the sick, you raise the dead, you cast out devils, and you cleanse the leper. And a lot of times we're praying, God, will you do this? Will you fix this? Will you help this person? God, will you save that person? Will you change them? And just the Christian thing to do a lot of times is, I'm going to pray for you, brother. But God, what is my assignment to this person? If it challenges me, if it gets on my nerves, anybody ever met some folks that are just anointed to push your buttons? They're just great. Yeah. they're just gifted. It's like the laziness, the slothfulness, the excuses, the procrastination, or that they always got to voice their opinion. They always got to disagree. They always got to tell you what you're doing wrong and how it should be done. Or if I was in this position, then this is how I would do it. And so we have all of this Adam, the old nature, running around. But the peacemaker is one that understands, God, I don't have to try and convince somebody where they're wrong, but God, may this love that you gave me manifest. The peacemaker nature, the sonship is, God, regardless if we disagree, teach me how to love beyond our disagreements to where you're glorified and it sparks something in them to want what we have. There's something about a son that everywhere he goes, that it changes the environment. It changes the atmosphere. He's confident in who he is and what he knows. He's confident. If we go to, real quick, let's go to Matthew chapter 5. I just want to break down a couple things here. Y'all remember the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, the blessed are they who, blessed is he, blessed, and all the blesseds. And so, verse 9, chapter 5, Matthew 5 and verse 9, very familiar text. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's different to be a child and a son of God. When we believe, we become the children of God. We accept him, we confess him as Lord, we're baptized, the public confession, we become the children of God. But it's different to be a son of God, because sons carry a different level of grace, a different responsibility, a different level of authority, their understanding, the maturity, they've grown up, they've come into the kingdom, they are a technon, they grow to a technion, they've been given more responsibility. When you have a son, for those of you that have sons, you know that as a child, you give them a little responsibility, they clean up after themselves, they, you know, pick up the toys. As they get a little bit older, they get a bike, take the training wheels off. As they get a little older, you can trust them with the keys to the car, but you do not trust a child with the keys to the kingdom. Our job and our assignment as we mature and as we grow as a son of God is to invade the earth with the kingdom. It's not so much about, God, how can I get to heaven, or I can't wait till I make it there, which ultimately our goal, yes, absolutely. But if you believe, you're automatically going to be there. If you're saved, you're just automatically going to be there. God is more concerned about us maturing and bringing heaven to earth. And instead of us trying to wish, God, will you just take me out of all these problems? Take me out of this earth. Take me out of these issues. All of this stuff going on in the gut. Whatever it is, a lot of the concern has been about, God, I can't wait to get out of here because this is not my home. My home is heaven. Well, yes, your home is heaven. But it's not about you trying to make it to the pearly gates. It's about bringing your home. And so the nature of a son, the nature of a peacemaker is wherever I go, we carry an awareness of his presence that when we walk in the midst into the middle of chaos, something shifts. There's peace in the midst of the storm. You see, there's something about a lot of times when we our prayer life shifts. Our prayer life changes from, God, will you do this? Gimme, please, please help this, to, Lord, thank you. I acknowledge the presence. I acknowledge an awareness to where not the world is going to be, you know, kind of, you know, distant or they're weird or they look at them to where that's like, I don't, you Christians are a little funny, you know, a little bit too deep for me. But to have an awareness of the presence to where we acknowledge what we have, what our assignment is. Now we go, we punch the clock, we go into the store, we go into the job, we go into the church, we go into the world, we go into the store, wherever we are at, we carry an awareness and an acknowledging of the presence that something has to shift, something has to change. So Peter's shadow, Paul's handkerchiefs and aprons, it wasn't so much about, you know, I got to preach to everybody because if you remember throughout the scripture, whether if it's the prodigal son, if it was the leper, if it was the woman with the issue of blood, these people weren't preaching to them. Jesus wasn't preaching to them. They carried an awareness of the presence and they looked at them and they saw something different than the oppression that they carried and they wanted what they had. And so something in them rose up. It sparked. It rose up on the inside and said, I have got to touch the hem of his garment, or do you have anything? Will you lay hands on me? When Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Took him by the hand, and immediately his ankle bones received strength. He got up, he walked. But the thing was, is that they carried an awareness of the presence. He said, silver and gold have I none. But when he said, such as I have, the original context and translation is saying, who I have, I give to you. Who I have, the nature, the DNA of the Father, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Who I have, I give to you. It wasn't that they were sick and I give you healing, because the Father had promised to them that to them at the cross, and when they believed, they were given the inheritance. But now I need to give you something else. It is a renewing of the mind. It is love. It is compassion. It is forgiveness. It is, I believe in you. It is, how can I point you in a direction back to the Father, or whether if it's a word of encouragement or if it's the power of agreement, whatever it is, who I carry is who I release. And so a lot of times we get caught up in nothing against, not shaming or anything, but a lot of times we get caught up, especially in prayer or especially in trying to keep the image of what it appears to be, this is what a Christian should look like. But instead of us trying to conform to what a Christian should look like based on the standards of, you know, man's expectation, Father, what does the son look like? Who is the son? What is this nature of the son that people could not get enough of him, that multitudes walked and traveled and followed him regardless how hungry they were, regardless how hot it was, regardless how tired, I've got to be around him. I've got to get to him. I've got to pull on his garments. I have got to get my miracle. I have got to be close to him. You ever meet somebody where they're just so blessed by your presence? I got to hang around you some more. I got to be around you. Man, I just love talking to you. You inspire me. When I walk away, I feel refreshed. That's because there's something else coming out. It's when we've come to the end of ourselves, I can't look at you and see you anymore. What's your name, brother? Marcus. I can't look at you and see Marcus anymore. I can't see Marcus's any kind of shortcomings. I can't see any kind of flaws. I can't see disappointments. I look at you and I see the nature and the DNA of Christ. Because something about Marcus, his experience, his testimony, his story, does something for me, and it reveals and it teaches me another side of the kingdom I've never seen before. The kingdom is not just my personal observation and my personal experience. The kingdom is there's something that you have that I need. The kingdom is unity. The kingdom of God is when diverse cultures and ethnicities and denominations and different styles and backgrounds and last names and colors can come together and be one. They were in one voice and one accord, and the doorposts and the threshings began to shake, and the Spirit of God, there came a sound as of a mighty rushing wind. Whenever there was diversity in one accord, the Spirit of God moved. But how can I unite with my brother who don't look anything like me? A lot of times it's you stay with yours, I'll stay with mine, or you go over there, you worship with your people, and I worship with my people. But how can I get out of the box, break the diverse barriers that separate us because we have disagreement? It's okay to have disagreements, but I cannot remove the love. If anything, it will have to stir up a deeper kind of love or show me how to get creative in loving you, because even though we have disagreements, the Father doesn't think any less of you or me than somebody else who may have it together. He thinks the same. He's crazy about you. He's in love with you, and he brags about you even to the angels and the heavenly hosts. He's bragging about, there is nothing else that could come in comparison to you. That's why when it came to the crucifixion and he looked and he said, I have to send a sacrifice, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. He looked upon the heavenly angels. He looked upon the cherubims. He looked upon all of earth creation and all of its splendor and its glory. And the scripture that also said, the heavens declare the glory of God. The earth shows his handiwork day unto day and night unto night. It's declaring the praises of God. He looked upon all of that and still couldn't find anything close to comparison, that he had to look at his son and he said, this is a good enough sacrifice. This will pay the price. This is good. When he looked at us and he said, it is very good, he had to look at his son to pay the price for something that was very good, and earth couldn't do it. Animals, bulls, lambs, goats could not do it. And so he's crazy about you. And the reason he's crazy about you is because you are the channel and the vessel that his DNA is established through here in the earth realm. Everything about you screams glory and praise unto God. When we rise up as sons and we understand our purpose and our identity, we understand our assignment, whether if it's to love the lost, the hurting, the broken, the homeless, whatever it is, or if it's to govern a ministry, if it's to lead a house, even if it's just to be a parent, if it is to be an entrepreneur, a CEO, if it's to be a doctor or a lawyer, whatever it is, you're meant to change the world with it. A lot of times we get consumed with the thoughts and the concerns of God, you know, I don't know if I should be, you know, I don't know if I should go into business. I don't know if I should go into be a lawyer, or if I should, you know, start up a medical practice, or, well, whatever you do, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, and cast out devils. Yeah, but should I be married? Should I not be married? Should I be fully dedicated? Well, pick something. Are you happy or are you not happy? But after you pick it, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and cleanse the lepers. But should I stay small and just local, or should I travel across the world? Pick one. Whatever he leads you in doing, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and cleanse the lepers. Well, all of that stuff comes from love. All of that stuff comes from releasing the DNA and the nature of a son, and it makes you the peacemakers. the peacemakers that walk in, they carry the nature and the fruit of peace. They carry the heart of peace. I'm not here to argue with you. I'm not here to debate with you. I'm not here to tell you how you're wrong. I'm not even here to try and convince you, because I can't convince somebody who may not see the way see things that I do. But the love of the Father that is so pure and uncontaminated and no strings attached opens up the door for us to have healthy communication, and it builds influence. I'm not trying to change your mind. I'm trying to love you. A lot of times, bless you, man of God. A lot of times it's you know, we gotta have the last word. We're men. We're grown. We're preachers. We're anointed, but I got the revelation. The Lord told me this last night, and he showed me your face. Anybody ever been there? Well, the Lord gave me this. The Lord told me to tell you this. And there's nothing wrong with flowing the gifts. Don't get me wrong. The thing is that if the Lord told me something about you, it's not for me to go to you and to shame or to condemn or to rebuke or to be in all this kind of conflict. But it's stirring something as a son and a peacemaker to love. Well, let's go get some wings. Let's go to, you know, let's go get some, you know, let's go get a steak. Let's have a talk. You know, I just want to fellowship with you. And you can know about all their business. You can know about what's going on. God can show, the Spirit can show. Okay. But, you know, brother, the Lord's not happy with you. Men of God, he's crazy about us. He's crazy. He's constantly reminding us, son, you look like me. Now act like it. You know, a lot of times I grew up like I was the first to say it. I had full altar calls off of, you know, God's anger and you're about to go to hell. Now get up here so you can make it to the pearly gates. You know, and I did that for years. I grew up in it. I've been to many churches, and nothing against it. I love them with all my heart. I love the church with all my heart. But the Father's heart has always been good. The Father's heart has always been crazy about his sons. Because it is through his sons that understand the Father's heart that peace is made. If I can understand the heart of the Father, I love differently, I talk differently, I receive differently, I embrace differently, I operate differently, I do business differently. Anybody here in business? Anybody here in the marketplace? Anybody ever here owned a company before, or you management? Or okay, so you know that when it comes to business or investing, there's a lot of kingdom principles that we have to apply in order to get results. And even the marketplace will tell you the first 10% you get, give it. They'll tell you to bless. They'll tell you to charitable donations. They'll tell you to, you know, give it to children in Africa. They'll tell you to dig wells with it, because they understand the principle and the concept of giving, that it just returns the blessing to you. And so here's the thing, is that when we're in business or when we're in ministry, whatever we are doing, our focus is to serve. My idea for business is not to chase a dollar, but it's to find the need and create the solution, be the solution, serve the need. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. He came to become friends and become one with the least of these. That even the woman with the alabaster box, the woman that had it said that this costly oil, that this costly fragrance was a year's wages. But she had the lifestyle of a prostitute. She had the lifestyle of, you know, the side hustle. You know, she had a broken image and identity of herself. But there was something that was so pure that she saw on him that she had to give her best praise. That I may not know all of my value and my worth, but I recognize worth and value on him. And so I want to offer my best praise and my worship. I'm going to give. I can't just give him $5. I can't just. It's got to cost me something. It's got to be worth something, because something so pure is touching something in me so unclean, and it's making me clean. It's causing desire in me to want to be clean. And so I may not know how to get out of it. I may not know how to shift or change from it. But all I know is that I'm crazy about him. And so for a year she worked. A year she labored. A year she was consistent in what she, on all that she knew, because nobody took the time to love on her. They condemned her and kicked her out. And so when he had was at the house of the disciples, or he was housed at the house of the Pharisees, and this woman with the alabaster box had come in, and she had broken, and she was crying and just giving her best praise, and Jesus in all of his purity and glory receiving. Oh, and the others, if he knew who this woman was, who was touching him, as if he didn't know, as if there was something that he missed. You see, there's something about the nature of a son, the peacemaker, that causes even the lost to repentance. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Do you know repentance is not me turning to, but it's me returning to? The word re means to do again or to put back. The word pent means on top, because the top of the pentacle, the point, the top, the penthouse is at the top. And so for all have sinned and fallen short of his glory. What is the glory? The glory of the Father is the Son. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory, the resemblance. Do you know that Adam and Eve were clothed and wrapped in glory because they resembled? He was the first son. Adam was the first son. Christ was the second born. And so they were clothed in glory. For all have sinned and fallen short of the identity that we are to represent. You cannot return to something. You cannot fall from something unless you're already high. Before the foundations of the earth, you were called, you were chosen, you were appointed, you were set aside, you were selected, you were created and formed by his hand. Every single detail about you, there's everything about you, it may look like somebody else. You ever come across somebody in an entirely different state, and there's some people I meet in other states, and I'm like, you got a twin in Texas, or you got a twin in Michigan. Because they're exactly the same. There's just something about them that just a total resemblance. But everything on the inside of you, the DNA, you can have a similar personality or temperament, but the DNA, there's such a uniqueness about you. Can't nobody do what you do how you do it. Everything about you in its uniqueness screams praises unto God. But when I'm remaining in Adam, I'm starving for peace. I'm starving for approval. I got to prove myself to everybody. I got to let everybody in the room know how much I know, or how good I can prophesy, or the revelation and the profile. I used to always give money all the time so that people would like me. I used to preach and study and pray, God, give me the anointing, because I wanted to find approval and validation. Because I wasn't aware of the sonship that I carried or I was predestined for, I was still operating as a slave mentality. You know, there are three things that the earth cannot stomach. The first one is a slave who becomes a king. The earth is groaning for the manifestations of the sons, not the slaves. If I'm working to try and prove myself or to find validation, I'm missing the purpose of the kingdom. The kingdom which is righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness is his gift and his identity and where I stand in him. It's not me trying to earn it by my works. It's me resting in the finished work of him. And it's not that we don't work. It's not that we don't sacrifice. It's not that we don't pray. But all of the work now comes from another place. It's not me trying to earn the Father's approval. It's me resting in the Father's approval and now living like a son. When the scripture had said, and I'm gonna wrap it up with this, when the scripture had said, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, he wasn't talking about don't cuss. We are the wife of God. We are married to the Father. We are intimate with him. When he said, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain, we take his last name when we get married to him. We take the name that is righteous and it's holy, and so we live by that name. We uphold that name. When your wife married you, she took your name. She carried that legacy. She She continued in it. She represented. She protected it. She protected it well. She lived by the legacy of that name. When we become married to the Father, we take that name and we live by that name. So don't take my name of being a son and still live like an orphan, but represent the kingdom, and everywhere you go, be a peacemaker and reflect the love and the character of Christ, because there's something in a call and assignment much greater and bigger than me. And it's not about me trying to prove myself, but it's about them seeing him through us loving. So there's just a nature of the peacemaker. There's a nature of a son, the technon, the technion, the weos. That there's something that's different. You ever notice that when you fall so in love with God and you go to a deeper level, you just realize that the stuff that you were trying to fight or give up just starts to fall off? It's just no longer you anymore. It's just not your nature. It's not your habit. You don't wake up in the morning thinking about how you can hustle or steal or cheat or lie. But now it's a new nature. I wake up in the morning. Who can I bless? Who can I pour into? God, open up doors. Create opportunities. Send me into a place. Send me into the marketplace. Send me into the field. Send me to the lost. Send me to the homeless. God, how can I honor and glorify you? There's just a new nature that we are partakers of. And so instead of me trying to give up my old life, I just take on the new life, and I automatically ain't got time for the old ways and the old nature anymore. But for so long, we have spoke to Adam, and we've tried to align Adam with the kingdom, and it doesn't work. We speak to the Son on the inside, and we call him forth, and we say, awaken to righteousness, according to 1 Corinthians 15:34. Awaken to righteousness and sin not. He didn't say, stop sinning so that you can awaken to righteousness. He said, awaken to who you are. Awaken to his righteousness and move out of the unbelief and the mistaken identity. And he said, because many do not have the knowledge of God. And then the very last part of the verse, he says, I say this to your shame. Shame is a prison. Shame is the bondage. Shame is the stronghold. Shame, that condemnation. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Satan is actually the nature of the fallen man that tries to hold us down and keep us bound. Because what happened with Satan? It's the fallen nature. And so what happens is that if I am trying to revive and resurrect and correct Adam, then the Son is sleeping. You're not dead. The church is not dead. I've heard it. I've said it. I used to preach it all the time. I never want to be in a dead church. If you're the church, it's impossible for you to be dead. Because it's not my life. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives within me. The life I live. You can be asleep, but still alive. And so he's speaking to the sons and to the church to awaken and to rise up. And when we come to the identity and the knowledge of Christ, because it said that many do not have the knowledge of God. When we awaken to him, it's literally the nature of Christ that stands up on the inside to where we can have all kinds of disagreements, but it can't stop you. It can't stop me from loving you. It can't stop me from blessing you, from pouring into you, from opening up doors for you. You can consider yourself my enemy, but I consider you a brother. The purpose of the table wasn't to... Psalms 23, when it talked about he prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemies. It's not talking about God about to bless you in front of all your haters. Okay, if I hear one more message about that, I'm telling you. It's not about him blessing you in front of all of the people that don't like you and talk about you. But the purpose of the table in scripture and in context was always to sup and to dine and to fellowship and to love and to have covenant and to come into agreement and to unity and to bless and to serve. So the purpose of the table, of him preparing it before me, is not so that I can argue with you and debate, but so that I can pull up a chair in the presence of my enemies and say, sit down, brother. Let's love on each other. Let's get back to unity. Let's preach the gospel. Let's figure out how we're going to change the world together. Let's fix all of this division. Let's get back to the kingdom. You're my brother. You may not. We have, may have disagreements, but I'm here to love you and to bless you and to understand another side of the kingdom by fellowshipping and being in covenant with you. Now, there are some people that just are not worth wasting your time right now. I understand that. But the thing is that we don't just cut people off and say, I can't be around you, because then there we are operating in Adam, because we're not concerned about what's on them getting on us. We rejoice because what's on us gets on them. And so he's speaking to the sons, to the peacemakers. All of creation is groaning. These earthquakes and these tsunamis and these hurricanes and the natural disasters and the dysfunction, whether if it's in the marketplace, the economy, the entertainment, the media, the government, the church, the home, what the dysfunctional marriages, wherever. The dysfunction is not God's wrath. It is creation groaning for the manifestations of the sons of God. Why? Because in the beginning, creation was created for man to govern. God didn't stop doing his job. So why are we praying for God to do a job he already finished? But man stopped governing. Man stepped back. Man got out of his clothing and identity. The whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of his glory as the waters cover the sea. The knowledge of his glory is the knowledge of the Son nature. Because what is the glory? The glory of the Father is the Son. The glory of the Son is man. The glory of man is woman. And so the nature and the DNA of being a son is what fills the earth to change it and transform it. Because we're being conformed to the image of the Son day by day. We're being transformed into his likeness, into his image. And we're returning, repenting. We're returning to who we once were before the foundations of the earth. He's calling us to repentance, and it's not, God, I'm a horrible heathen. God, I don't deserve it. I used to pray, I used to get scared at 5 years old. I thought I was a little horrible heathen, split hell wide open. My father was a pastor. My mother was a teacher. I remember coming home sometimes, and there was, you know, nobody at the house. There was nobody at the church. Nobody was answering their phone. I thought I missed the rapture. Okay, anybody been there? And so... And so there's this fear that we live in, thinking that he's about to, yes, thank you, brother. This fear that we live in, that we're so disconnected and far from him. Now, I don't preach I've heard the term a lot of times, you know, the greasy grace or the sloppy agape or license to sin and all that other kind of stuff. There's no such thing as greasy grace and sloppy agape. Okay? But here's the truth is that I can't preach grace unless I preach it radical. Because it wasn't my works that saved me. It was unconditional grace that loved me in my lowest. Come on, you didn't get saved when you were at your highest, when you had all the money, when you had it together. Your wife was the baddest. She could cook. Your kids all were on a honor roll. You were at the top of the corporate ladder. Come on, that's not when we got saved. In my worst, lowest, broken, insecure, worried, scared, curled up in the corner and fearful, afraid of life, afraid of being a man, afraid of failing, afraid of having to lead one day, afraid of not letting my wife down or my kids down or my church down or everybody else down, or not letting my father down or not even know who my father was, or being just afraid of life coming one day, the responsibility, whether if it was school, if it was a job, if it was owning a business, if it was traveling, if it was moving and relocating, if it was accepting a job or a position, just the fear of the Adamic nature. But I'm telling you, church, the Father, his heart is all about, the scripture said, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He came to reveal the Father. The Father's heart is to remind you of who you were from before the foundations of the world and to call you back into that place. He says, now start acting like it. That's how we lead our churches. That's how we lead our homes. That's how we govern. That's how we run business. Everything about your life changes. You are a peacemaker. You're a son in whom he is well pleased. When Jesus came over the hill and John the Baptist saw him and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." And he was coming to be baptized and he had said, "Master, you're the Messiah. You're the one that was foretold about, the prophesied coming one." He said, "You should be baptizing me." And he said, "This must happen so that all righteousness can be fulfilled." And so when he baptizes him, he goes down as Jesus, but he comes up as Christ. When he comes up, the heavens open, the dove descended, dove being the universal sign for peace, peacemakers. The heavens open, the light shines, the voice said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." But if you remember the last 30 years of Jesus, Jesus was in hiding, not performing miracles. And the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Men of God, for so long, we have worked and stressed and tried to burn ourselves out, trying to hear the voice that says, "Son, I'm proud of you." When that voice comes before we even do anything. And the approval that the Father had put on the Son when he was baptized, he put it on the Christ, the body of Christ. It was a picture saying, "I place the approval upon you, the body of Christ, because of the obedience and the finished work of my Son, Jesus." Jesus did the work by submitting to another man's ministry and being baptized and surrendering and submitting his life to the Father. Jesus did the work, but when he came up, the approval was placed on us, the body. When Jesus died, he died as us, for us. The old man died. When he rose, the new man lives. When he was baptized, he did it for us. When he died, he did it as us. Both times he rose, he placed it upon us. And he awoken the new man. So there's a nature that the sons carry. It's a DNA that we're to awaken to. It changes the lives of everything. It changes your marriage. It changes the patience, the self-discipline. All the stuff that we're praying for, all the stuff that we're trying to accomplish or earn or achieve or win the approval. It shifts everything in us. It changes our perspective, our view, especially, first of all, of the Father and of ourselves. If we understand the Father, we can understand ourselves. If we can understand ourselves, we understand our assignment to others. If I don't know who I am, I don't know what I'm called for. If you can answer the five questions, who, what, when, where, how, and why, you'll never lose them. Just try. Try to convince somebody who's confident in who they are. You ain't gonna make it. You ain't gonna watch me. They just know who they are. They know what they're called for. They know it's not me, it's him in me. They know it's a different DNA and nature that we live by. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to take a few moments and let's just let the Spirit. Is there a little bit of music we can get in the back just to kind of flow a little bit here? Bishop, with your permission, may I release a few words? There's just a couple things I want to release. I was hearing, but I just want to take a few moments and just kind of just worship him and allow that new nature, that DNA to rise up. Allow the person of Jesus, the person of Christ, to stand up on the inside of you. You're not seeking for approval. You're not trying to win the Father's heart. Papa God is crazy about you. And all of your success and all of your accomplishments and your accolades and all of your traveling across the world and preaching and souls being saved and all of that, before any of that, the Father said, "You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." before Jesus turned the world upside down and he raised the 12 and the 72 and sent them out. One of the greatest works. Before any of that, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son." In the beginning, when Jesus was born, in the scripture it said, a child is born, a son is given. There's a difference. We are born in to the kingdom. We're reborn into the kingdom. A child is born, but a son is given. The child is born in the kingdom, but the son is sent from the kingdom. Why? Because for God so loved the world that he gave his son to the world. So you were born into the kingdom, but you were from the kingdom given to this earth to change it and to fix it, to realign it. He's saying to the sons and to the peacemakers, awaken, arise, let Christ rise up in you. Let him stand up in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, in just your language, your prayer life, just begin to worship him and adore him. Just, Father, we bless you and we thank you. Hallelujah for that new nature. Hallelujah. 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 We bless you, Jesus. We receive. We receive. We are sons. We're not slaving, trying to earn an inheritance. We are sons that obtain and embrace our inheritance by faith. Hallelujah. We bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for that new man awakening. For that new man awakening, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Father. We bless you, Jesus. We thank you for that nature. Thank you, Father, that we are given. Now train us in the ways of a son to bring honor and glory to you, Father. We thank you that sin has been paid for, God. And we understand that there are still struggles. There are still things we are overcoming in the soul, Father. There's still a battle that goes on daily. But, Father, we thank you because we don't live by the old man anymore. We are sons and partakers of your divine nature, Father. We're being conformed to your image day by day, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Bishop, I'm just hearing that the Jesse anointing, the Jesse grace on your life, the Jesse anointing and the Jesse grace, that when David went to kill Goliath, and after he had, you know, he had created his resume, he had created the, you know, the resume of the lions and the bears, he killed them in hiding, nobody saw him. He was about his father's business and hiding, nobody saw him, steadily worshiping, praising, writing songs, falling in love with the Father, praying, having this relationship. And when he was sent for, he said, take this, Jesse had called him and said, take this food to your brothers, for they are hungry, they're at war, they're at battle, take this to them, I'm sending you. And so when he shows up, there was an assignment waiting for him that he wasn't informed about. But after he had killed Goliath, King Saul had said, who is this young man's father? Who raised the giant killer and a fearless leader, a worshiper? There is a Jesse grace and anointing on your life that is calling David to come out and to take their rightful place, to be anointed as kings, to go forth, to rise up, to make things happen, to bring change. So there's a Jesse grace and anointing on your life. There's a Jesse anointing on your life to father and to raise up sons that are going to change the earth. They're going to change the world. And not that your days of killing giants are over. There's still some that'll be before you. But I hear the Father saying to embrace, because your time now of the greatest joy is going to come from raising up Davids. The greatest joy of raising up sons. The greatest joy of raising up worshipers and fearless leaders. And the kind of men, the kind of Davids that aren't about putting on this image and this look of I'm big, I'm bad, I ain't got no weakness. But ones that aren't afraid to humble themselves and cry out before God. They aren't afraid to worship and get on their face and cry out and say, Father, I embrace the love and the DNA of your love, the honor, just to be intimate with the Father. They're not going to be ashamed about it, but they're going to be so intimate with their Father that people are going to come running for the grace that they carry. I just hear the Father saying, I'm well proud of my son. I am pleased with my son. I'm pleased with my son. Young man in the back here in the yellow here, I'm just hearing, man, that there's going to be a whole new shift that takes place. There's grace on your life to preach. There's grace on your life for wealth. There's grace on your life for influence. And that there's just going to be people that are drawn and surrounding you. They're just going to enjoy being around your presence. There's leadership and influence and mentoring all over your life. There's like a grace to recognize skills and anointing on somebody else and to pull it out. Even when they're doubting themselves, you have a grace to believe in them and to equip them and to train them. But I hear the Father say, prepare yourself, because even though you've been in hiding in some areas, or there's been some seasons where it's been, you know, like kind of, you know, when, God, when's the time, when, how come, or where's the money, or where's it going to come from? The Father is saying, don't worry, because everything has been aligned. You're in the right place. You haven't missed it. You're not late. It hasn't passed you by. The Father says, I did not take it off of you and put it on somebody else. I did not take it off. Matter of fact, I'm just hearing a lie that was spoken that said, if you don't take on this assignment, then he's going to take it and give it to somebody else. These gifts and callings are without repentance. They cannot leave your life. But the Father says, I have constantly been increasing them. I have been cultivating and preparing, and I have been equipping, and I have been training. And the story that you have gone, the story that you have been through and that you have developed along the way, where you have kept the faith, you have not lost heart, you kept persevering, you kept pushing forward. The Father says, I am going to cause many sons to come and sit under your leadership. And I am also going to send great leaders and fathers into your life to help restore your soul, to help restore the void. Because many, there were times where it was like, Father, I need someone to care for me. I'm leading, I'm serving, I'm helping, I'm working. But God, what about me? My soul is heavy. My heart is heavy. My mind is tired. And there was just times where you just had to get by yourself. I see you like just crying out before God. Literally anguish is just coming out. But I hear the Father saying that there is now a time that you're going to step into where you are going to receive such a restoring grace, a refreshing grace. It's going to be a whole new reset. And get ready, because wealth is going to pursue you, young man. Wealth is going to pursue you. It is going to come find you. You're not going to have to go and chase a dollar. You're not going to have to work three jobs to make it. But I hear the Father saying, I am bringing wealth to you, and I am proud of you. You did not fail me. You did not fail those that came through you. You did not fail your legacy. You did not leave me. I have not forsaken you. But I am pleased with your heart. I am pleased with your diligence. I am pleased with your sacrifice. And today is the day where I call forth the king to come forward. I am calling David out of the cave, because now the kingship grace and anointing rests heavily on your life. I speak to those business ideas and I command them to come forth. I silence the fear that says, not now, I don't have enough money, nobody's supporting me, nobody's behind me. I silence the fear and the lie that says I can't. And I command the sun to awaken in Jesus' name. Father says, get ready, because your name is about to be known throughout the region. Your name is going to be known across social media. Your name is going to be known across the marketplace. Your name is going to be known as a reputable name of good character, of integrity, of consistency, trustworthy name. Man, I'm telling you, I see a young generation of young men just flocking to you. You are not a failure. You have not failed the Father, and you have not failed those that you tried to mentor, pour into, or cared for, or the responsibility that God gave you. You are not a failure. You're a son in whom he is well pleased. Yes, sir. Right there. Yes, sir. You are not a failure, young man. Matter of fact, there is, because there has been seasons and times that like literally took so much out of you, the Father says, I have brought you to a place where you've come to the end of yourself, so that when people look at you, they can see me. There's just a humbleness, a humility, a selflessness spirit that you're going to walk in and that you're going to live in. People will tug on it. Just like they tugged on the hem of Jesus' garment, they're going to tug on the grace that's on your life. There's a healing anointing on your life too. My God, I feel that. There's a healing anointing on your life. There's a healing anointing on your life that God is going to give you discernment and clarity that you'll be able to like sense it. Like there's a young man over here, there's a woman over here dealing with this, a child dealing with this. You're going to sense it. You're going to be able to hear it. And you're going to be able to call it out from there and kill it. You're going to be able to kill it from the root. Your words are going to carry weight because you've come to the end of yourself. The Father says, I can trust you with this level of anointing. I can trust you with this grace. Don't worry about the stuff that you don't know now or that you don't see or you don't have or it's not enough money. You ain't got to worry about any of that. The Father says, that's where I come in. When you come to the end of yourself, when Jesus called his disciples, he called them at the end of themselves, where even Peter had said, Master, away from me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm unworthy. I'm unqualified. Jesus said, that's what I'm looking for. You're going to have a grace that calls young men into their destiny. Regardless of their situation, there's an anointing on your life. I know what I'm hearing, young man. I'm telling you, man of God, I hear your words are going to carry weight. They're not going to fall to the ground. Your words will even have weight in the government and the marketplace. They will have it. You like sports, I'm assuming. They're going to carry weight in the sports industry. Matter of fact, there's a multi-million dollar idea in you. There's a multi-million dollar idea in you. You ever thought about business? I'm telling you, man, there's a young lady I ministered to up in Michigan one time, and I told her, I said, there's music all over you. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Within 1 year, she was recording her first album. My God, I'm telling you, there is a multi-million dollar idea in you. And a lot of times, he calls the people that says, I wasn't looking for this. I wasn't trying. He apprehended me. Because you're crazy about the Father. You just don't know how crazy the Father is about you. You love him. You guys are good. You guys are tight. But now the Father is going to reveal to you just how much and how highly he thinks of you. And you don't have to worry about not being able to carry the legacy onto your next generation, onto your sons. Take rest because the Father says, I'm going to do all of that through you. It's not going to be your DNA. The Father says it's going to be my DNA imparted to them because your heart belongs to him. God literally has your heart to the point where he gives you what to want, not just gives you what you want. He literally gives you what to want because you're so in love with him. Father's proud of you, man of God. What's your name? Dex. Dex? I'm telling you, there's wealth attached to that name. There's wealth attached to that name. Hallelujah. 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 Man of God right here, I hear the teaching grace and anointing is about to go to a whole nother level. The teaching anointing that where revelation and rhema is just going to jump off the page at you. Because of the process of laying foundation in the Logos, he's going to give you revelation and rhema. The teaching grace is going to go to a whole nother level. You're not just created to work or to serve others or to just be there, to be available. The Father has a grace on your life that's going to be in curriculum, that's going to be in Audible, that's going to be on YouTube. There's a teaching grace on you that's going to go to a whole nother level. There's just a teacher's anointing on your life. And just revelation and rhema that'll jump off the page at you. Young man, what's your name? Jovi? Kelvin Jr. Oh, Junior. Okay. Kelvin Jr. I'm just hearing the Father say that there's a sincere presence that will cause you to stand out. Not to blend in, not to follow the crowd, but to stand out for righteousness. But there's a sincere presence on your life that you'll carry and that you will walk in, that it's not going to be about, you know, trying to find where you fit in, but it's going to be about releasing the presence where you go. That it's just going to be radiant from you, that you're not going to be ashamed or shy of your faith, but you're going to be bold and courageous that wherever you go. How old are you, man? You're tall and everything, but you're 15. I'm telling you, there's just a boldness on your life for faith. That I'm not ashamed. I'm not afraid of it. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of me. I'm courageous because I know who God is. And it's just going to be like a pillar of light. In the midst of darkness, it's just going to be light, 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 light. Keep going forward, man. Keep going forward. The Father is going to really teach you and train you on how to hear his voice. You're going to be able to walk throughout the school. You're going to be able to walk throughout stores and the mall and the movies, and you're just going to be able to hear his voice. There's going to be times too where you're not even going to ask for it, but there's just going to be oil and stuff that flows from your hands because it's not that you're going to, you know, go all crazy and just, you know, lay hands on everybody in the movie theater, but it's to remind you constantly that the anointing is on your life everywhere that you go. It's to remind you that you carry a sincere presence that heals and it sets free and it delivers and it leads and it inspires. There's a holy grace on your life. A holy grace. Man of God, I hear the Father saying, I'm completely redoing your identity of him, right? Your identity in him. That the Father is going to give you such a revelation of being a son, having an inheritance with your name on it. A lot of times we are groomed to think, work for an inheritance, work for an inheritance. But the Father says that the inheritance is just because you're a son, not because of serving or working or trying to earn it, but it's because you're a son. The working comes from the stewarding of the inheritance. That he releases inheritance to you and he gives you the governing grace to work it properly and to manage it and to put it into proper place and function. So he's going to totally redo your identity of him, of yourself in him, of who he is in you. But the Father says, I'm going to bring you onto this journey now where just stuff is going to jump out at you. You're going to look at things around you. You're going to see it in the media. You're going to see it in movies. You're going to read it in books. You're going to see it in life, in the store, in other people, in the church, in community, in personal experiences. You're going to see the kingdom revealed more and more. He's going to take you to a place where just revelation is just constantly flowing. And there will be a demand for the grace and the anointing that's on your life. There will be a demand for the grace and the anointing. You won't have to worry about what's my place or what's my assignment or is it going to be bigger than this? There's a demand for the anointing that is on your life. There is a demand, a high demand for the anointing on your life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word, your anointing. For your identity, Jesus. We bless and we honor you, Father. Hallelujah. Father, I pray that your identity would be so rich and strong and solid in these sons, in these men of God, these men of valor, these men of courage. Father, thank you that as they continue their pursuit and their walk with you and their identity, Father, that you're awakening the sons on the inside. That all of creation that is groaning for the manifestations of the sons of God, that they will hear the cry of creation and they will step in and take their rightful place and say, I command earth and creation. I command the government. I command the marketplace. I command the economy. I command these homes. I command these marriages. Get in order. Align yourself with the kingdom in the name of Jesus. That they will take their rightful place as sons. Hallelujah. We bless you and we honor you, Jesus. You're so worthy. Now come on, just worship in him, love on him, and just bless him. You can lift your voice, you can cry out, you can praise him, you can pray in your